America, and to everybody who's listening all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Teresa Sammons, Chris Elogi, and Patrick Mifflin is here.
Hey.
Hello.
Was going to work on, he was going to play Phantasy Star Online too, but then the server kicked him off, and apparently he thought that
sometimes
was some
the universe
of...
just sends you a sign.
Yeah.
And it's being squirrely after the fall update too.
Yeah. But this show is going to be for September 3rd, 2021. It is officially September now, and the weather is still hot as all holy hell. Because if you expect there to be any fucking change between August and September in this climate, you're a fucking moron.
Well, actually, I think Chris and I probably aren't doing too bad on weather. Is it pretty decent there, Chris?
Mid-70s.
Yeah, you're
already.
Too.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I fucking hate both of you.
If it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, I've still been using the AC regularly.
69 right now.
Mm-hmm. So, you can probably guess the couple of big stories that this show is going to be about. The two big ones being the fact that Hurricane Ida came and basically, fucked everything from the southern tip of Louisiana and all the way up to New York City.
New York City?
Yeah, yeah.
We apologize for those of you too young to get that reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you've never actually seen the original TV commercial, because they didn't originally say New York City. They originally said New Jersey.
Huh.
It was like a
how's that some Mandela effect shit for you?
Yeah.
And then one of the other cowboys said, get a rope. Because apparently having shitty salsa means you're going to get hanged.
No, I can understand that.
I mean, keep in mind this was compared to paste picante, which is basically tomato water with some black pepper in it. So, but yeah, all right. And, what else happened? Oh, yeah, something happened in Texas. Something that has basically turned that state into a national fucking pariah and turned the United States into an international fucking pariah, or at least more than it already was.
Yeah, Republicans have gotten a thing they've been wanting for decades, but they can't
celebrate. And they just realized, holy shit, this may not work for us at all.
The dog that caught the car.
Yeah.
Oh, I have shit to say about this.
Yeah. And, I would talk about, how it would say, it would just be just awful, just terrible if you went to, say, that website that they set up to give anonymous tips for it. But wouldn't you know it, GoDaddy took down the website a couple of hours ago.
I was getting flooded with fake tips and, I think, stuff related to that Bee movie.
Yeah.
And Shrek and various kinds of porn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of Shrek porn being sent to them.
Yep, because that's something that exists.
Shrek
Wood Rocket even made an entire porn parody. It's fucking nightmare fuel. You should not watch it. But, and of course, we got some more COVID news to talk about. Let's see, what else? The Afghanistan war, or the war in Afghanistan, or at least major military operations, are now officially over in that country. The last plane left earlier this week. We'll be talking about that. Oh, yeah. And some rando in Ohio, for some reason, accosted some NBC reporter while he was covering Hurricane Ida.
Huh.
It's in Ohio. Yeah. It's in Mississippi. He just took a nice trip to Mississippi like white people do, I guess.
Because why the fuck not, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll have some more stuff to talk about. All this and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off, as always, we start off with what we've been doing this week. And Patrick, you ended up drawing the fake non-existent short straw. What have you been doing this week?
Well, for one thing, I'm finally getting my Utah exit plan in order, because every situation that I had here kind of lingering that was keeping me here to, you know, to see how it all plays out has resolved. There's really nothing tying me down anywhere at this point, and so I can just pretty much I'd be in a position of being able to throw a dart at a map, but that's a little too reckless for me. So after some good long conversations with Chicago and Chicago adjacent friends, including Teresa here, that's actually going to be where I end up landing, hopefully by the end of the year. But you know, finances tend to play a factor, so whatever the case, it'll be soon. And I'm just really excited to finally get the fuck out of this place, because if there was ever a geographical location that was tantamount to a vampire, it is Cache Valley. And I've already given damn near 40 years of my life to this place. I don't want to give another day. So that's really going to be the prime focus for me for the coming weeks and months. I'm also getting back into the retro gaming bit, because I kind of slacked off on that in, you know, over the summer as I got hold of my next-gen consoles and just took some time to see what those were about. Now I'm definitely looking back to the retro stuff. I'm doing some more emulation work on my Alienware Alpha R2. I actually scored a GXTV for my pre-HD systems. I'm not sure if how well anyone remembers the GXTV. In the mid to late 90s, you couldn't step into a Toys R Us without being peddled one. All of their demo units used them. It's really like a Samsung Dream TV for the time. It's only 13 inches, so it's for the type of gaming that I talk about a lot, where you're just in a maybe in a small bedroom with a TV and an old game console on a desk and just whiling away the hours on it. I mean, it's the perfect TV for that. And it actually closes up when you're not using it, so you open it up and you have your speakers. It was absolutely my dream TV when I was like 15, 16 years old. And because I've got some older systems here that I'm going to need to be testing for potential sale, and there are a few that I'm actually planning on having hooked up in the long run, you know, like Dreamcasts and your PS2s and what have you, I just really wanted to go for, you know, the best TV available. It is a bit of a fixer-upper. I do have to do some work on the right speaker, but other than that, I'm completely thrilled. I'm just extremely happy with how this came into my possession and finally being able to say I have one.
Pretty
and
cool.
Then finally, I've taken up the pastime of buying up DVD box sets from Amazon when they're on a pretty solid bargain, just sets of some of my favorite sitcoms from years gone by. Things like Becker, News Radio, Two Guys, a Girl in a Pizza Place, and stuff of that nature. It's not really piling up because, as I say, it is in the show notes, because obviously I'm having to remain cognizant of that, but it's given me stuff to watch and, you know, stuff to do when I'm not actually playing video games and just need to chill out for a bit. But I think that's a pretty good update on what I've been up to.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
Well, I have been playing a pretty cute Switch game called Garden Story. And I'll save details about that for the review. It's just going to be on Smashpad probably within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's not horribly long, but my time is crazy as we kind of try to get into the groove of school and high school is just as busy as I remember it being, although I'm on the other side of the family equation this time. You know, there's some really, really long days. There's lots of after school stuff. But, you know, everything will cool down, and my kid definitely thinks that they're going back to hybrid at some point. There's so many kids that are in quarantine right now that they are doing recordings of all the classes and whatnot. So for now, we'll do that stuff. And, you know, if we all get stuck at home later this fall or this winter, all of us have plenty of shit to do to keep us entertained. Also been playing PSO2. The fall update dropped, and I've done a whole lot of points already for that. I still have been playing Trials of Midgard, although they did a patch on that, and the Survived Day 100 probably isn't going to be an achievement that I end up getting. It's just they've made it a lot harder. You can't just join somebody's pre-existing world and whatnot. And frankly, I honestly don't have 18 straight hours in enough people that I know that play that to devote to getting that achievement. So, and whatever. Cool game if you guys ever get a chance to play it, though. I've been watching Ted Lasso. I've heard a lot of buzz about it, and I wanted to give it a shot.
That was a Lee recommendation, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And abso-fucking-lutely. It feels like, in a way, parts of it feel like a BBC show, obviously, especially the intro, the music, you know, and the length of the intro feels, actually, Scott mentioned this. He said it feels... like something that they could have done for Toast of London, which I'm sure you guys have heard me go on and on about. I really enjoy that show. But it's like, is there any part of it that's ever bad? Because we're on episode 4 and it seems really epic. Just really epic. And so weird.
Just using a fight stick.
Yeah. It seems really weird. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that should be good, you know, if you read the synopsis of the show. But it is. And so we've also been watching, we finished up our rewatch of Space Force. even though it came out last year, we've already rewatched season 1. And I think we're probably the only people in the entire world that like the show. But I do. Malkovich, again, is amazing in that. We finished off season 1 of Invincible, and that left off in a weird spot. So, okay, whenever, I think it's Amazon Prime that has that, whenever they get around to doing the next season, that would be grand. Now, please, would be great. we're in season 8 of our rewatch of MASH. So I think we only have, what, 3 more seasons or some shit? I don't remember how long it is. And then we watched a movie that, shit, I need to take that back to the library. It's called Babette's Feast. It was from like 89, 87, something like that. And it was some award-winning thing. But it's really cool Dutch film about a woman from France who is escaping... the whole killing of the aristocracy there. And mm-hmm. She comes and lives with two sisters in a very, very religious village. Just really slow moving. I cannot recommend that movie to any of you because I don't think any of you are going to like it. But I liked it. It was pretty neat. And then we finally got our backsplash done in the kitchen. So we have a giant wall of green tile, and it looks a-fucking amazing. And I'm glad that it finally happened. I was afraid that it wasn't going to, because I had been fighting with them to get out here since May. Yeah. So, yeah.
But it's been that long.
Yeah, that was a long time coming. So it looks really cool. It looks really cool. I'm glad it's done. I'm glad I don't have to make any goddamn phone calls. And I'd really like to wrap up all the home improvement stuff for like the rest of my life. But I don't think that that's quite happening. But at least we're going to wrap up for a while. So that's a lot, but that's what I've been up to. A lot. So, Chris, what have you been doing?
Yeah, Chris, what about you?
Been enjoying this weather. Yeah, so as like one of the big topics of the week, Ida just roaring through basically this half of the country. It just missed us for the most part. We had some quick little storms pop up here and there, but that was about the extent of it here, at least in Northeast Ohio. So that was nice. So I have to get any of the shit that Philadelphia or New York City or New Jersey, whatever, got. So for the most part, it's been pretty nice, like actually able to be outside and not, you know, be a sweaty mess within 5 seconds. That kind of stuff has been pretty nice. So that's been that. Been watching The Simpsons, kind of the thing I'm watching before I go to bed. In season two, almost to the end of season two, watching the parts that typically when people recommend, you know, seasons to watch of The Simpsons on the internet, they typically ignore those first two seasons. And I think those two seasons are especially really good. Maybe not as good as the seasons that followed, but they're very important in a lot of ways. Especially just the whole thing getting started from there. But there are a lot of good character episodes there. Especially in that first season as they're sort of setting the tone of what some of these less wacky episodes are about, but, you know, where they dive into what makes, you know, Bart tick or Lisa, Homer, Marge, whatever, doing some cool stuff there. Yeah, still in season two. I could just finish the episode with the substitute teacher that Lisa sort of gets a crush on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I forget who's the voice for that. Before they just had them, various celebrities just voice themselves. Early on, they just voiced other characters. Mm. But yeah, that was especially a nice episode. Lisa's sort of dealing with the idea of not having a particularly smart father figure in her life, that kind of thing. I'm kind of really enjoying having this substitute teacher that's kind of pushing all the right buttons for her. But yeah, that's been that. Like the other thing I've been watching is just more Fresh Prince, Bel Air, which is still a great show. But for games, been just playing a bunch of Rocket League, doing a bunch of stuff there these first few weeks of the new season. Are kind of just all focused on, not focused, but there's a lot of the weekly missions are featuring casual matches. So doing a lot of the parts of the matchmaking stuff that are less fun in those casual matches where the competition isn't necessarily as fierce, though I think because they keep putting these missions in there, there are better people in there, which leads just idiots that are super concerned about winning or losing in those games, just getting, you know, butthurt all the time, which is hilarious to see, but also annoying at a certain point. But that's been that. Also been playing more Fortnite. The season ends, I think, next week. Or no, maybe next weekend, like on the 12th, maybe. It is ending, so I'm trying to get some more time into that and unlock some more stuff. Because there is an unlock in the later part that I want to get. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to have the time to get it, but Rick from Rick and Morty is in there. Mm-hmm. Morty's been in there as a character you could buy, which is him in like an exoskeleton kind of suit. Because he is not a normal-sized character. What else just went on there? Will Smith's character from the Bad Boys movies is in there as a thing you can buy, which is a weird.
Okay, that's incredibly random.
Yeah, Especially because this season is centered around aliens. So his character in Independence Day or MIB would have been
much better.
But I imagine that's involving studios that maybe not as quick to line up for this kind of thing. So that's unfortunate, but been having a lot of fun. Won a couple of matches here and there. But yeah, been playing some more Psychonauts 2, which I'm liking, especially when I'm not trying to stream them and having the stream just fuck up a few times. But yeah, I finished up an interesting part early on where you get your ability to kind of connect thoughts, I think it's called, where the character that it's presented with is having these various like topics that you're trying to jump between in sort of a puzzle fashion to link thoughts together, which culminates in this end sequence where you just have all of them together, where you can link things like, oh, cilantro, disgusting. Like talking about how, you know, cilantro tastes like soap. It's disgusting. Why would anybody want this? And there's a bunch of funny combinations you can get there. But you're ultimately trying to link, she's a character that is risk averse. So you're trying to figure out a way to get her to not be as risk averse so that the kids you're with can all go on this mission. And once you do this, Raz is kind of realizing like, oh shit, he's maybe turned this character from being risk averse to being maybe like a gambling addict kind of thing.
Oh dear.
In a way, he's like, oh shit, fucked up. And the other kids.
Fucking guru ensues.
Yeah, because the next mission is at a casino. So you can see where this goes wrong. That's basically where I left off at. So I'm looking forward to put some more time into that, but it's definitely growing on me. They're adding some interesting mechanics and ways to play around with the way the game works. That it's doing a good job of showcasing like what's new about this compared to just being, you know, another Psychonauts game like the original, which is sort of a humorous but fairly standard like action platformer kind of game. So that's been pretty much it for me. Brandon, how about you?
All right. Well, as for me, I am still playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I'm just about finished with Mass Effect 2. Getting ready to start it. The Mass Effect Legendary Edition? Oh, yeah. It is. I did a review of it. It's damn good. They basically went back and redid like a whole bunch of the original Mass Effect's graphics so that it's up to the standards of the later games. That remaster of the first Mass Effect is worth the price alone.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's still very much a series of games that came out, you know, in the PS3 era, and it shows in some parts. But fortunately, you know, the story and writing and world building makes up for all of it. On top of that, I'm also, because I've got a PS Now subscription, I decided, you know what, it's been a long time since I've played them. So I've started replaying the Uncharted game from back in the day. Specifically, I recently started up the first one, Uncharted, Drake's Fortune. And, wow, it is shocking how much that game still holds up. Like all these years later, that game came out for the PS3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it still plays and looks amazing. Yeah, that whole trilogy is amazing to play.
I've still never played one.
Oh.
Yeah, but there I do have I did accidentally subscribe to PlayStation Now a few months ago, so I do have several months left of it.
Yeah. Although I do know that the update came out a couple days ago, I have not gotten back to Genshin Impact yet because I've had other stuff. But I will be getting back to that as soon as I can. Because, like I said, I basically stopped. I got to the point in the game where the main, the overall main scenario stopped. Because they had just recently, updated and brought back the, they had expanded and introduced new area and sort of established what the storyline for that area is going to be. And they're bringing more of it with a recent update. I just haven't gotten around to it, but I will. And recently when I started rewatching Firefly, I had forgotten that I had gotten season one of The Expanse on DVD for Christmas last year. So I was like, fuck it, I gotta watch The Expanse. And oh my god, I am surprised that it took this goddamn long, because holy shit.
Right?
This show is fucking amazing.
It is. Within the first 10 minutes, I was hooked. That was really quick.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, honestly, next to Firefly, it's probably the most realistic, like, sci-fi scenario I've seen on television.
Yeah.
I can totally see all this shit, like, actually happening. Like, how like climate change basically forces people to start going out into space to get minerals, how the colonists who go to Mars decide that, you know what, fuck off, fuck Earth, we'll go and make our own goddamn country, and that's exactly what they end up doing. And then how both sides basically basically mercilessly oppress the people in the belt because, they got to get those fucking minerals.
Mm-hmm. Wait until you see their depiction of Earth later.
Actually, funny you mentioned the Zeon thing. At one point, okay, so there's basically three factions in the Expanse universe. There's Earth and Luna, which is governed by the United Nations. And, of course, the United Nations is, like then, as of now, still headquartered in New York City. Of course, at this point in time, New York has to be behind, like, this enormous seawall, to keep the Atlantic from spilling over.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the Martian Congressional Republic, which is the government of Mars. And they are basically, that, let's just say there's like a major like cultural and political rivalry with them and Earth, mostly because, Mars is largely, their whole society is pretty much aimed around terraforming Mars and turning it into a new Earth. Like, mm-hmm. And like everything from, the way that all the jobs on Mars, all of the industry, all of that is pointed towards that singular goal. And
so they're clearly not as efficient as the X-Men.
No.
wow.
And Limited. Then there's the third faction, which is the OPA, or the Outer Planets Alliance, which is the sort of kind of unofficial government of the people of the belt. And by the belt, we mean this asteroid belt out in the middle of the Sirius cluster. And basically, there are generations of people who've lived out in the belt, and it shows because they have different physical and metabolical differences to the people who live on Earth and Mars. They're taller, their bones are not quite as dense, so if they cannot like deal with Earth's gravity, and they basically, because of the mishmash of different groups who ended up settling the belt over the years, they actually developed their own language, which is called Belter Creole. And as for the Zeon thing, at one point far ahead in a couple of seasons from now, they don't drop a colony on the U.S., but they do decide to start dropping a couple of meteors on it.
Okay. See, that's the thing. As we've established long ago on this show, whenever you set up that kind of situation in a sci-fi story, Xeon is the inevitable result. So,
in some way or form.
Yes.
Yeah. God, it even fucking happens in Legend of the Galactic Heroes, although in that case, instead of just dropping a colony or asteroids, they just straight up park their fleet on top of the planet and belt it with nuclear warheads. But
yeah, I think that was anyway, when you came up with that theory.
Yeah, but actually, the first person who came up with that concept was actually Robert Heinlein.
The theory that in any such story, when you set that up, Xeon is inevitable.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Legend of the Galactic Heroes is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
When that came up.
Eventually, you know, if a group becomes enough that they can subsist on their own and they feel unjustly oppressed or otherwise restricted by the Earth powers, then yes, they will eventually get pissed enough to try and drop something on the planet. But, So, that's what I've been doing. Everyone who has not watched The Expanse, you should watch The Expanse. It's fucking amazing.
Yes.
It is way too good. And honestly, the weird, like, strange cultural differences between all three of them is really what's fascinating. Because in hindsight, like, politically, the three powers aren't really that different from each other. They're all basically democratic, more or less neoliberal type socioeconomic systems, but culturally they could not be more different from each other. People on Earth resent the people on Mars because they think that people on Mars look down on them for, you know, apparently polluting and paving over the planet when it was the thousands of years of culture that allowed Mars to become what it is. The people of Mars look down on the Earth, on the people on Earth, because, again, they see the people on Earth as spoiled, who had all these resources and stuff for them that the people on Earth have to be careful of using and kind of have to, you know, because obviously Mars is a very harsh environment. And everybody on Mars lives either underground or under domes. And let's be honest, when you live in a society, in a civilization where essential resources are limited and have to be kind of rationed, and you know, the outside world is as harsh and unforgiving and deadly as the Martian landscape is, a certain degree of martial discipline is to be expected.
Yes.
And that's essentially what ends up happening to Mars. And then of course both of them look down on the Belters because they think the Belters are all spoiled. Even though,
I see
you know,
him as more of a slave class, honestly.
The Belt is essentially,
they're dumb and, you know, they have no culture, and when really they do, or at least I think they
do. Belters have a lot of culture. The Belters are essentially like the Caribbean, like during the Age of Sail. You know, it's Cuba, it's Jamaica, it's the Bahamas, it's Haiti, you know. It's all the places where, you know, they had to bring people over to mine all these minerals and basically take advantage of them. But anyway, moving on from there. It's time now. Does anybody want to add anything before we go any further? Nope. All right.
No.
All right, then. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, last week, some of y'all may remember, I talked about how a random farmer in the middle of Yugoslavia jamming a beer bottle up his ass somehow led to the fact that Yugoslavia basically came apart. That was a little depressing, so I decided I would go to another topic that was a little bit more fun and entertaining, mostly because it involves one of our favorite topics, Japan. So, everybody here, I'm pretty sure, knows of Leonardo da Vinci, right?
Yeah.
Famous Renaissance guy. He's basically the definition of what you get when you think of a Renaissance man, a person who can do all kinds of different things and has mastery in a bunch of different fields. Well, Japan had their own Da Vinci, and he was actually a really fascinating guy. He doesn't really get talked about much outside of Japan, which is really a shame, because he was legitimately fucking fascinating in both really fun ways and also legitimately hilarious ways. He lived during Japan's Edo period, which means, of course, this was before, you know, the Meiji Rebellion and the founding of the Meiji era, and essentially the beginning of what is now modern Japan. His name was Hiraga Gunai, and he was both incredibly amazing and also may have been legitimately insane. We'll get to that. But so, sort of, to understand Hiraga Gunai, you kind of have to understand the world he came into being. As I think a lot of us probably know, back in the 1630s, the Japanese shogunate implemented a strict isolationist policy and closed the country to the outside world, right? We all pretty much know that.
Yeah.
Now, this did not mean that Japan was completely cut off from the outside world, however, because they still had trading deals with the Dutch, the Netherlands specifically. Yeah. They had originally had a lot of trading with Spain and Portugal until they found out that there was a bunch of Catholic missionaries trying to convert the Japanese to Christianity. That led to a rather notorious Christian revolt that ultimately led to a crackdown on the Catholic population in Japan, and so the country completely closed itself off. But they still had access to the Dutch, and of course the Dutch had to go to this one little area near, I believe, Nagasaki, where they had to then go and, you know, sell their wares and do their deals and stuff. They could not go off that area. They had to stay behind it unless they were given specific permission by the government. So into this is born Hiraga Gunai. And Hiraga Gunai is coming of age right around the time when the area known as Dutch Studies is becoming a big deal in Japan. Dutch Studies was basically a name they used in Japan for the study and collecting of all the scientific knowledge that they got from Dutch traders. Things like geography, biology, you know, taxonomy, things like that. And so Hiraga Gunai, when he's about 13 or 14 years old, he makes a trip in Nagasaki, and he is like, holy shit, there's all this awesome stuff happening. Maybe I should look into it. So he ended up going into basically doing just about a little bit of everything. He figured out a bunch of stuff from the thing is, he basically scienced all of the science that was available in Dutch Studies. He used the knowledge of Dutch mining and refining technology to open a bunch of mines in Japan. He even, at one point, he managed to find a deposit of asbestos and used it to turn into an amazing fire-resistant cloth. He wanted originally to, you know, mass-produce it, but, you know, the process wasn't scalable. So, in the process, he also managed to construct one of Japan's first thermometers. He also started cultivating ginseng. Came up with another way to produce charcoal that was more efficient. Then he took another trip to Nagasaki, and he discovered something that was basically like futuristic sci-fi technology in Japan at the time, a Dutch static electricity generator. Now, he got a hold of this thing, and he was like, holy shit, this is amazing. I should try and see if I can make my own. So, he managed to get his hold one of an original Dutch battery. He brought it home, and he decided to see if he could sort of reverse engineer this thing. He spent about 5 years working on this into an invention he called some people pronounce it elekiter, somebody pronounce it elekiter, But he actually managed to create a working static electricity battery that he would then use to, he would like attach like a rod to it, and he would use it for like as a therapy device. Sometimes he would show it off and like what make, you know, show people like go like, holy crap, it's sparking, you know, magic. That's a little dumb, yeah. But yeah.
Considering so, the era it worked.
Yeah. And of course, one of the other things he did was he invented a bamboo toy that is, by all accounts, the earliest propeller design in the world, period. Well, not the earliest, one of the earliest. So at this point, you're thinking, okay, so this is all awesome. The dude's obviously awesome at science and invention, but to be the Japanese Da Vinci, you can't just be awesome in just one thing. You got to be able to do other stuff. So most people know that Leonardo Da Vinci, when he paid the bills, he did it by painting, right? That was sort of his day job to fund all the other things that he did. Well, Guinai had his own day job, and that was as a writer. And he wrote a bunch of stuff. He wrote, you know, well, he wrote, like, guides to, well, let me put it this way. Japan has a complicated history with the subject of homosexuality. As I think most people who have studied Japanese history will tell you, most Japanese men were expected to be kind of fluid in their sexual orientation because it was thought that if men hung around women too much, it would dilute their masculinity. So, especially with, like, samurai and samurai families, men were expected to have sex with women to continue their lineages, but they were also expected to, you know, have relationships with either their younger apprentices or with the older gentlemen who, you know, trained them. And this was pretty much common for all of the historical samurai and warlords, including, you know, Nobunaga Oda and Tokugawa Ieyasu and all those guys. Now, exclusive homosexuality was not unheard of in Japan. And it wasn't frowned upon, but it was super duper rare. Until, you know, around the 17th and 18th centuries, when the idea of exclusive homosexual men became more well known. And, well, Hiroki Guinai was one of those men who was, he made no secret about what he was into. And that he was into, as one wise man once put it, man's butt. And holy cow, did he make it known. He made his living as a writer. And basically all of his writings is about how much he loved fucking other dudes. He wrote in just about every genre that was imaginable. He wrote poems. He wrote plays. He wrote gesaku, which were the early, like, 17th, 18th, 19th century versions of light novels. He wrote an epic poem on the nature of farting, which is, to this day, still his most famous literary contribution, believe it or not.
I believe it.
But he also made his living by writing guides to the male prostitutes in town. And there's a poem he wrote famously called Rootless Weed, which is the story about a monk who dies and he goes to the afterlife and he goes to King Enma to be judged. And the king is about to judge him for his homosexuality, but then the monk has an attorney that shows Enma the picture of the guy that he fell in love with, and Enma gets so horny for the beautiful man, he resigns his position so he can go to Earth and try to fuck him.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, I also mentioned that that poem about farting. It was called Pokiron, A Theory of Farting, about a street performer who uses his butt as a musical instrument. Literary critics over the years have been trying to find out if there's, like, some kind of hidden meaning or something about it. More than likely, he just thought farts were funny.
Okay.
another major contribution he made, the concept of Doyo no Ushi. So in Japan, between July 20th and August 7th, there's something known as the Summer Day of the Ox. And during this time period, people in Japan eat a whole lot of unagi. You guys know what unagi is, right?
Eel.
Eel meat. Great. Oh, yes. Remember, eels are not snakes. They're just really long, skinny fish. And yes, unagi is delicious. And during this time period, people in Japan eat a shit ton of unagi. It's such a big deal. It kind of feels like it's one of those things that's always been a part of Japanese culture. But no, nay, nay. It was started all the way back 250 years ago by Hiroaki Gunai, who came up with it because one of his buddies was running a struggling grilled eel shop, and he asked the guy to come up with some way to improve sales. So Gunai painted a sign that he hung on the store, read something like, today is the Midsummer Day of the Ox, try the eel. And now, you know, during the Day of the Ox, people in Japan eat a crap ton of eel. So he ended up being one of Japan's first major copywriters. He didn't just do this for that guy either. He also tooth powder. He also, let's see, I think he also did it for, I'm pretty sure he did for something else. I can't find it here, but he wrote like a short paragraph about the origins of the company, how the owner is just a regular old Joe who's just trying to get by and won't you buy his tooth powder. Sounds really familiar, right?
Oh my God, it sounds like every website's about us page.
Uh-huh. And on top of all this shit, he also created two brand new art styles in Japan. He came upon a large deposit of clay somewhere in Sanuki on Shikoku back in 1772. And he thought, you know what? This would be a great place to make pottery. So he petitioned the government to help him set up some kilns and some workshops so that they could use this to make pottery so they don't have to rely on imported stoneware. And he had gotten a bunch of knowledge on chemistry and glazing, you know, during his days when he was, you know, out sciencing all the science. And so he came up with a style of pottery that mixed both Western and Japan aesthetics called Gunai ware, which is known for two things: having a vivid green color and elaborate ornamentation on the sides. And by elaborate, well, let me show you this shit right here. This is, that shit right there. Yeah. And then on top of that, he was a painter himself, because again, at this point, we go full circle and find out that, yes, like Leonardo, he was a painter. And he was really into the type of painting that was coming out of the West, because if you've ever seen compared traditional art from the West, the traditional Japanese painting, nothing wrong with traditional Japanese painting. Traditional Japanese painting is amazing in its own right, but it does certain things that Western doesn't. Japanese painting does not have as much of a, you know, a much of doesn't focus as much on things like shading and perspective. And he came together and he created a whole nother style of painting that combined both art styles called Akita Ranga. And if you ever look it up, you'll see some of these pieces. You can definitely see the inspiration. It's like you can tell, well, like this here, I'll provide another link from the Japan Times that shows sort of an example of an Akita Ranga piece. And it's just a still life, you know, it's some flowers and pottery, but you can absolutely see the Japanese influence in the way it uses its colors. So with all of this, you're thinking, God, this guy was fucking amazing, right? So whatever happened to him? We don't really know. Exactly what happened to him towards the end of his life is kind of not well known. What's known is that at some point at the end of his life, he was arrested for murder. Exactly what happened, nobody really knows. Some say that he might have gotten into a rage and killed someone. Others think he might have just gone insane and killed someone. He was never commercially super successful and was always on the lookout for patrons, meaning that his monetary, you know, flow was not always stable. Some people think that he might have killed one of his disciples in a self-pitying rage. Some say that while he was overseeing the repairs of a lord's mansion, he showed up to work drunk and mistakenly thought someone was trying to steal his blueprints, so he killed two of the workers. Any case happens, he was arrested for murder and he died in prison of tetanus. And that's it. That's how his story ends. We have no idea what happened. That's literally how the dude's story ends. He does all this amazing shit, and he just sort of blips out of existence at the end.
That took a turn for the Terry Sawchuk.
Yeah. At least Da Vinci, like, when he died, like, he was, like, there was, like, the King of France was there at his bedside to receive his final breath. Like, it's very unceremonial, but he still had, like, a huge influence on Japanese culture. And he's still, like, a major deal. That battery I talked about, that static battery, it's actually in a museum in Nagasaki. And I also mentioned, yes, some of the pottery he helped create is still around. His books are still in print. That was Hiroki Gunai. He was fucking insane and goddamn brilliant. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay, so with that out of the way, it's now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, with the show, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our big asshole of the week is Hurricane Ida, who met the United States at the southern tip of Louisiana and basically tore a path of destruction all the way up to the northwest.
Northeast.
Yeah, northeast. Sorry.
One of the northwest.
Yeah, I'm good over here.
Hell of a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you but guys are used to it. All the wildfires.
Yeah. Yeah. They got enough shit to worry about. But yeah, Ida managed to do some destruction. Weirdly enough, it fortunately, apparently the destruction was not as bad as with Katrina, even though apparently got as strong as Katrina did. So I guess they did learn some.
It was a category 4 storm.
Yeah.
Katrina was category 3, but they have done a lot of work to improve their flood walls and all that kind of stuff.
Apparently the levees held, so that's good.
Yeah. They have plenty of flooding, but nothing terrible like Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, plenty of destruction, the entire city of New Orleans without power, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
There was enough power that it reversed the Mississippi River there for a bit, at least the flow of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But went through Tennessee, did a lot of destruction there. Just as people were thinking, oh, it would, you know, calm down, it just did a massive amount of flooding in the East Coast areas around, you know, Philly, New Jersey, New York City, all up there, just dropping, you know, 5 to 10 inches of rain all over the place.
Yep.
Flooding huge parts of those cities. Plenty of crazy videos out there of cars floating down the street in New York City with enough water to kind of push them around. You know, the subways filling up with water really fast because they're not.
For like the second time this year.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Central Park had like about 3.5 inches drop in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a ridiculous amount of water for a place that already dealt with a bunch of water recently with the other hurricane a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We were just drying out from that, and this just came right in and dropped a bunch more water on them.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a bunch of people died in those floods.
Yep.
So, showing what climate change is going to do here, make this stuff more catastrophic.
Yeah. Our other big asshole of the week is, well, it's a combined asshole, which is, I guess, I don't know what you call that, asshole-ception? I don't know. The Supreme Court of the United States voted 5-4 to refuse to block a new Texas law banning abortions after 6 weeks, which basically all but completely outlaws abortion in the state of Texas.
Yeah, because the first 2 weeks, you haven't even had your period. Like, you don't even fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a few thoughts about it. In that,
dish.
it does take a sperm donor of some sort to create a child, to create an embryo that they don't want aborted. So I think that in the state of Texas, there should be a statewide mandatory cataloging of all male DNA over the age of, I'm going to say, 14. And once the woman is caught getting an abortion when she's not supposed to, the same consequences should apply to whoever's DNA matches from the fetus.
I get with that.
I know it's completely and utterly non-doable, but fuck it. You guys get my point. I'm pretty sure everybody else gets my point.
Yeah. There's definitely been a lot of... Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, it's a fucking travesty. You're right.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of the shitty parts of the internet kind of taking up arms in a way. I think there was a Reddit subreddit that was about it's like bounty hunter stuff. Like, oh, we should we report, like, try and get women impregnated and report them if they're trying to get an abortion, kind of thing. That's super ridiculous and got shut down.
What's that movie where we're all allowed to commit any crime we want for 24 hours? The Purge? I think we may need a Reddit purge.
Well, that Reddit got shut down. Yeah. So.
No. I'm not talking just their account. I'm done. I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's that pro-life site that was letting people send in tips for potential abortion stuff going on, which people just flooded with bullshit.
I think that was the state of Texas's actual line for that.
It was. And it's no longer on there because GoDaddy took it down a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they hosted the fucking site on GoDaddy.
Yep.
But, yeah, they flooded it with so much bullshit.
There comes a point where between COVID and Trumpism and the fucking Tea Party before that and the 6-week abortion ban, where they're going to take a pacifist and turn her into a bloodthirsty person, because enough is fucking enough.
There's a lot of discourse in society today about people taking up their Second Amendment rights to protect their other rights.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know, these anti-abortion douchebags think that they've got the market cornered on direct action. Well, these fuckers want a war. Let's give them a fucking war.
I have no problem with that.
You know, they're the ones who keep going to fucking, you know, fertility clinics and shit with their stupid signs and getting up in people's faces and setting up fucking car bombs and killing doctors and shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking enough. It's fucking enough.
It's kind of wild to just basically refuse to take on this whole thing. It's just to let the lawsuits and whatnot, you know, continue on before they say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's...
I'm also waiting to see what the Biden administration's federal response to this will be.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of action they can take, but it seems like there is some action planned. That at least they're looking into it, and I certainly hope that's the case.
Pop the filibuster and stack the courts.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, it's patently unconstitutional. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And, I mean, we know...
Can we kick them out of the U.S. for doing this? Can we just fucking get rid of Texas?
Well, the sad truth is that a bunch of...
They're trying to do that themselves.
Yeah, but we need their ports.
So, I mean, you're suggesting we give them back to Mexico?
Mexico doesn't want those fuckers!
Of course not.
Who
I was just saying, I mean, you know, they stole it from Mexico in the first place. It would only be fair, but...
That's true. That's true. I'd love to see it given back to the people who have lived there for generations upon generations upon generations and let them be separate from Mexico or the U.S., but, you know.
So
I know
there's a movement there called the Republic of Texas, and that's what they're really angling for.
Yeah.
They want secession with the current powers that be, as it were.
Like Senator
and then
Corona.
You can then if that were to happen, you can watch the newly born Republic of Texas absolutely fucking collapse.
I mean, have you seen their power grid?
I was going to say, yeah, they would
Given
completely collapse.
For a living, yeah, that, yeah. That was even more of a shit show than you saw on the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's basically like the power grid in Texas is basically a nest of corporate fiefdoms. And
unbelievable.
But,
this is what all the Reagan bullshitters wanted.
Yep.
Too bad they're all going to be dead before they see it implode.
Yeah. The good news, though, is as somebody pointed out to me, the Republicans were trying to use the stuff with Afghanistan to try and galvanize their base for the next election, which I'm not too sure how good that's actually working, because most Americans are glad that we're out of there.
Yeah.
But we can definitely use this abortion thing against them, because...
Yeah.
This is something that they had been wanting to do for the longest time, and I don't think they expected this kind of reaction.
They won't want what they get when they get what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. When you can get
our final asshole
to speak up about this for a whole day.
Yeah.
It says a lot about the general consensus about it.
Yeah. And of course, our last asshole of the week is Mike Richards. Who is Mike Richards? Mike Richards is the guy who is the executive producers of both Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and was supposed to take up Alex Trebek's place as the new host.
Uh-huh.
And then found out he's a shitty human being.
Oh, indeed.
Yep, so he is not going to be part of either franchise anymore, which is good to see.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems like he's done with Sony as a whole on all this stuff. Definitely needs to do a lot of work on himself, but yeah. Now they have a lot of work to do to figure out who the new host is going to be for Jeopardy.
And let's not let it be another piece of shit guy who just keeps skating through life doing horrible things.
Yes, please.
With no repercussions until, about 40 years on.
But yeah. Fortunately, we do have some heroes of the week to talk about. First is, of course, the famous Harlem Hellfighters unit that fought in World War I. If you played Battlefield 1, you know about these guys. They were the all-African-American unit that fought in the European front, and they were awarded official congressional gold medals this week, because unfortunately, they did not really get much recognition back when they originally fought.
At least not in the U.S. I think the French gave them a number of honors.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, back here, not really as much as they probably deserved.
Yeah. Like, these guys were one of the... These guys were a notoriously tough unit. They fought at the Fields of Verdun, which is, like, one of the most notoriously bloody clusterfucks of the entire war.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, when they came back, they were barred from participating in a military parade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their white commander helped arrange a separate parade for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both chambers of Congress approved this commendation this past summer in a bipartisan mm-hmm. effort. So there's that.
Huh.
Yeah. The proper name of the regiment was the 369th Infantry. But, yeah. And, yeah, so that's good news. And director Nia DaCosta, she became the very first black female director to debut at number one at the box office in the U.S. because of Candyman.
Oh.
Which I have heard good things about.
Yeah. Sad that it took this long for this sort of thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Ava DuVernay came the closest at having the number two spot in 2018 with The Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she managed to do that this year, raking in more than $22 million for the opening of Candyman.
Mm-hmm. And I have heard really good things about it. Hope to see it soon myself. Because I fucking love the original. Because anyone who has never seen the original Candyman, it is not only legitimately scary, it's also one of the most uncomfortable horror movies you will ever watch. Legitimately.
Hmm.
But, yeah. So with that, we'll move on from the show proper to the proper show proper, and unfortunately we have to say goodbye to Mr. Ed Asner. He died this week at the age of 91.
Amazing yeah. career.
Yeah. Oh god, yes. That dude was in fucking everything.
Yeah, there's that meme going around that you can tell a lot about a person from where they know Tim Curry from. I think you can mm-hmm. put Ed Asner in that same box.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. God, what was he, let's see, like, what he was in. He was famous, I think he famously, he played Lou Grant in the Mary Tyler Moore and the spinoff of the same name. He was also in that movie El Dorado. He was also Santa Claus in a bunch of movies, including Elf, that Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, really?
He was also in, the Spider-Man animated series from the 90s.
Yep. He also played Carl in Up.
Yep.
He was also in The Good Wife. He was also in Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays.
He's one of those decorated actors out there with 7 Emmy winnings.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
He was Hudson on Gargoyles.
No way.
Yeah. He was Hoggish Greedley on Captain Planet.
And he was in Cobra Kai.
Yeah, he was Master Vrook in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. He was Roland Daggett on Batman the Animated Adventures. He was Cosgrove on Freakazoid.
No way! I remember that now.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Great. Yeah, he was in just, God, he was in just about, like, yeah, he was fucking everywhere. Oh, yeah, he was a DSA member. Should also point that out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like, he was actually grandfathered into it because of the DSOC, which was the preceding organization that became the DSA.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and apparently there's been thought that because of his politics is the reason why Lou Grant ended up getting canceled so suddenly in 82. Because it apparently had really high rating. But Asner, you know, was also just kind of... well, let's see. 1918...
I mean, that was during Reagan's...
That was during the Reagan years, so, yeah. I mean, it's probably... Yeah.
I mean, I was really young, but even I knew how fucking popular Mary Tyler Moore was then. I mean, it's all everybody ever watched besides freaking Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, and he was also a member of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Newhart.
That makes sense.
Not bad. Not a bad legacy he left.
Crazy no, resume. Fair.
Yeah. Good shit. So, sorry to see him go, but goddamn, he left a hell of a legacy behind it. I'll be surprised if he ends up becoming, like, one of those, considering how much he did over his career, would not be surprised if he ends up becoming, like, the other Kevin Bacon in the, you know, 6 degrees to something. But,
yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. All right, so, with that, it is now time to move on to another segment. Unfortunately, we'll continue to have to do for a while. We're going out back into the alleyway, opening up the garage door. Beep, beep. Here comes the COVID dump truck backing out into the street again. We got two stories for you this week. The first one being that Joe Rogan tested positive for COVID and unfortunately didn't die from it. He is still very much alive.
He posted a video.
However, thoroughly dewormed.
Oh, yeah, I watched that video. I did blah, 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 and drips, and I feel great. Never felt better. Fucking
yeah,
he
talked about getting monoclonal antibodies, taking ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, everything. I also got an NAD drip and a vitamin drip, and I did that 3 days in a row.
All right, he's fucking Wednesday, and I feel great.
Yeah.
Or is it his liver? What's going to detox him? What's going to filter the stuff? RIP both of them? Well, there's.
They're just going to be very tired for a while.
Yeah.
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 I guess now he has a very clean colon.
The joke is, unfortunately, yep. COVID caught Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that he has survived, especially because people are going to think that, you know, it's no big deal. He survived it.
Yeah.
He paid out the ass to get all these treatments.
Exactly.
Some of which are good and others that are bullshit, but
I mean, no, you can't just go to your doctor and say, oh, I want a bunch of antibiotics for a viral infection. You know,
yeah, they'll tell you to fuck all of the way off.
Yeah.
And then just come back the next day so that you can fuck off again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is pretty shitty when some high profile cases like this get it. But it doesn't Gene Simmons have it, but at least he, with all of his fucking many faults, has been pro-COVID education, I believe. Don't quote me on that. He is
remarkably sane.
He is, just kind of an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, among the treatments he gave himself was ivermectin.
Yeah, like I said, at least we know he has a clean colon now. He probably isn't feeling too good right now, but
yeah,
I mean, at this point, the side effects of everything that he's been putting himself through just to avoid regular treatment, I guess, is remarkable.
Isn't it nuts? And he won't say whether or not he's vaccinated. And clearly he's taken all this fucking medicine, so what does it matter if he had the vaccine? He might as well, if he hasn't had it, get it, because that's way less chemicals. Quote, chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Even if he didn't get COVID, there's no way after all that he didn't feel like something a dog yacked up.
Yeah. It is important to point out what ivermectin is, a dewormer medication.
Or livestock.
Yep.
Well, there is a human version of it that exists, but it's only used in very rare instances to rid the body of intestinal parasites.
Yeah.
And how does it tend to do that?
Well, it's a different
by shitting
formulation.
It out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a different formulation too.
Yeah. And it's
the one
not very
for
particular.
Yeah.
It's not very particular about where or when it takes effect. No. And you just have to hope that you're somewhere convenient when it does.
Yeah.
Like, and not at the grocery store, which is apparently a thing that is happening to people who are doing this to themselves.
Yeah. And you don't want to use the livestock version because it can kill you.
Yeah.
Remember, that stuff's got to be strong enough to work on a horse. And horses are much larger than you are. Yeah.
They certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're in the other than most humans, too.
Yes. And they occasionally will eat people. But that's another story. Other COVID story we got this week. There was a church camp in Illinois that's linked to nearly 200 COVID cases with no mask or vaccination requirements.
What city is that from?
Let me see here. Not sure if they have a place for it.
There's a lot of places in Illinois that don't have a name.
Yeah. It's just a camp that was held. Yeah. Yeah, nearly 200 cases. I think 180 cases have been linked to those who attended one of those events, or to someone who had close contact with an attendee. They held a 5-day church camp for teens and a 2-day men's conference in June that have since been linked to a spike in cases following research by the Illinois Department of Public Health. Center for Disease Control and Prevention said in a report Monday. CDC did not name the organization. Third of those cases, 122, were attributed to attendees, 87 people contracting COVID-19 during the camp, 35 during the conference. Most of those cases, 104, were unvaccinated people. Only 5 were hospitalized, none of whom had been vaccinated. No deaths were reported, so luckily that's good. But officials say that more than 1,000 people across at least 4 states could have been exposed through the 2 events.
Mm.
So they come out and be like, see, Jesus protected us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, Jesus wants you to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing is caring for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You do that by getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Making sure your ability to spread it is minimized.
Mm-hmm. Because even back in Bible times, they knew that if you had an infectious disease of some kind, you needed to make sure you wore a mask and stayed away from the main population.
Thank you. That's there.
Even if it was just leprosy.
This isn't exactly a recent medical discovery.
No.
No.
But cherry picker's going to cherry pick.
Yeah. Remember, that was that back during the fucking Bronze Age. They knew this. So.
Yep.
But anyway. All right, now it's time to go on to the show, the rest of the main show anyway, and that on September 1st, Texas had 666 laws go into effect.
That should have been a fucking sign, right?
Yeah, we didn't make that up. That is actually the number that went into effect.
Yeah, so it's a number that you've probably heard about, stuff that's related to new voting laws, like one that bans
Not
Texas.
That voting law, but yeah.
Yeah, one that bans Texas voters from registering using a post office box as their address. Another allows the Secretary of State to cut funds for voter registrars that fail to remove certain people from the rolls. Walmart makes it harder to apply for a mail-in ballot for medical reasons. There are other less controversial ones, like allowing people to track their mail-in ballots. Another makes it clear who can be in a polling place, like voters, election workers, poll watchers, election judges, and law enforcement. There's obviously the one that involves the new abortion law. It prohibits abortions once cardiac activity is detected in an embryo.
Bullshit. It's bullshit.
Incredibly.
It's fucking bullshit. Yeah. They're a goddamn fish at that point, for the most part. We all started out that way. We were fucking little itty bitty goddamn tadpoles.
Well, no, at that point, fish would actually have verifiable brain activity. So, that's more than can be said for an embryo at that point.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, it doesn't set criminal penalties for violating the ban. Instead, it allows private citizens to sue anyone who helps someone get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a weird thing, but. Seems like great.
It's written by lawyers.
Now, yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but I think I've I've heard enough about laws that, or about legal proceedings where someone has to have justifiable stake in a case in order to file suit in it.
We will be finding out. So
I'd really question whether a lot of people who are going to put this law to use for private citizens to sue abortion providers or abortion recipients to actually have a stake in the case.
This shit better be gone by Halloween.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Let's see, there's laws based around teaching critical race theory, which high schools and lower schools do not teach.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Nope.
But it's help adding to this unfortunate rise of tensions when it comes to schools. Like,
it's gonna get assholes to show up at the polls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets assholes to show up at the school and threaten to tie up and kidnap principals because they think they're teaching CRT.
Did I tell you guys that I attended a board meeting, a school board meeting?
Go ahead.
I remember you mentioning something like that to me, but
tell us the story.
I left and my IQ was down by 25 full points because it was nothing but moms in very unrealistic shoes marching up there, trying to get away with not having their goddamn masks on until one guy on the board finally said, if you don't want to wear your mask, get out. And it was all, you've taken our rights, and pointing at them and being belligerent towards the board members who are not really allowed to respond. They're only allowed to listen, except for the chairperson, who tells them the rules and just tells them when their time is up. And are you going to come in on your days and blah, 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 take care of my kid because they got contact trace and they can't go in for 14 days? We pay your salary, bitch, 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 moan, moan, moan. You're blah, blah, blah. And then the other one's coming up here with fucking signs about how, well, I have a degree in something really stupid that she's never used for a day in her motherfucking worthless life. And she's like, the holes in the fucking masks, these paper masks are so many microns, and the virus is so many microns, and it's the same fucking stupid bullshit I heard out of fucking Mr. Alderdice in biology class in 1991. It was wrong then, it's wrong now, they don't understand science, they need to sit down, and they need to shut up. And there was a lot more, but I think I already ranted pretty well, didn't I?
That's good podcasting.
It does, but it just kept dragging on and on and on. And they were sitting, so this is just where they were sitting told me everything. They all got the back corner of the room and sat back like they're fucking little high schoolers. We got the back of the bus. We're awesome. Because, you know, that was the thing. I think that people just fell asleep when they talked about Rosa Parks. But they sat back there like goddamn delinquents who didn't want to pay attention in class and listen to the teacher. And that's exactly what they fucking did. They kept trying to take their masks off and everything. And they didn't even bother going into the assembly because it moved for a little bit to the gym so that the board members could welcome the new teachers. And we were invited to go and meet the new teachers. And they didn't give a goddamn about the teachers. All they wanted to do was bitch, 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 and bang on their drum. And Scott got up there and he's like, well, I didn't have a whole script prepared like the rest of these bullshitters did. Because they did. They had a fucking script that they were reading off of.
Naturally.
And they knew when to pause so all their friends could, applaud and everything. And he's like, look, the school is great so far. The teachers are great. You know, the way that they're following state law and doing the mask mandate is absolutely fine. Thank you very much. And one person clapped because he was the only sane person there in the audience besides me and Scott. And as we left, he's like, thank you for saying something positive. And we're like, yeah, we'll be there next time, fucker. We'll be there. We'll be supporting you. And I think Scott made it a point to say, or no, maybe he didn't, but but I will speak at this next one this month. And one of the things I'm going to tell them is what I emailed them this week. Hey, you know, for every one of those people who is spewing violence at you and being really rude and awful and stressing you out, there's like 300 parents who are fine and supportive of what it is that you're doing. We need the sane ones to show back up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was just stupid. We didn't have the cops or anything there like they do one town north of us. But these school board meetings are getting fucking out of hand. And you guys are allowed to go because you're taxpaying citizens of whatever fucking municipality you live in.
Yeah.
So don't think that other
people. If I showed up, it would turn into an NHL game.
It might, but I mean, there's a procedure and everything too in order to get an opportunity to speak. So, and they, you know, they take your information so that if you do get really out of hand, you can be arrested later. So don't get too horribly out of hand. But yeah, I have a laundry list of shit that I want to talk about, and 3 minutes had better be enough because that's all I get.
Yeah. All right. But
the last law here that's kind of the big thing is that Texans now are able to that are legally able to own a firearm can carry it in public without the need for a license.
Yep.
This is a first since Reconstruction.
They just kill themselves.
Yeah, I can tell you from apparently the North community in Texas is not happy about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not very much of a fan of it because it just adds more unnecessary variables to those sorts of situations that they don't need.
Yeah.
So we know that the good guy with the gun myth is nonsense.
A myth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But moving on from there, back in 2019, a young 18-year-old gentleman named Elijah McClain was put into a chokehold and then injected with a sedative by some police officers and paramedics that ultimately led to his death. Well, this week, 3 officers and 2 paramedics are being charged in his 2019 death.
Finally.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to see what they are being charged with. Let's see. Yeah, the Attorney General said all 5 officers and paramedics were charged with manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide. Some also face additional charges.
So the medics are done, right? Like Hippocratic Oath, that they're done. That's it. Mm-hmm. Has to be.
I would think so, but he was black, so probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, next story, the last U.S. military plane left Afghanistan earlier this week to mark the end of the war. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, there's actually another part of that Ahmed Arbery story, actually, because the district attorney for that case has been indicted with misconduct charges for shielding the killers. Wow.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I'm shocked and appalled.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never seen this coming.
Yeah, the grand jury in coastal Glynn County indicted former Brunswick Judicial Circuit District Attorney Jackie Johnson on a felony count of violating her oath of office and hindering a law enforcement officer, which is a misdemeanor. Resulted from an investigation, Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr requested last year into local prosecutors' handling of Arbery's slaying. After a cell phone video of the shooting and a delay in charges sparked a national outcry. So yeah, hopefully things happen there.
Because what else has she done that's bad? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Well, and as I was saying, until somebody pointed out to me that I had missed the whole story. Yes, Earlier this week, the very last U.S. military plane left Afghanistan to mark the end of the war. A war that began when I was a fucking freshman in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't in high school yet, but I was still a freshman.
Mm.
But yeah, it's finally over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still other bullshit going on, but it's, yeah.
And I've heard an awful lot of. Keep going. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's nice to have a president that's willing to actually take the heat to get this shutdown. Trump could have done it and, you know, used it to run a parade to celebrate himself for being willing to do it, but, you know, he made a deal with the Taliban instead of getting, you know, the government of Afghanistan involved as well to help create this whole chaotic situation here at the end.
Yep.
And I also need to point out there's been an awful lot of fucking misinformation that's been going around, too. I don't know if you guys heard the story going around about how apparently left behind like 800, like eight, like 85 million or $85 billion worth of military equipment behind when we left.
I actually have not heard that one.
Okay, and supposedly it was like all gotten to the hands of shit. Yeah, there's a really big part of the story that those people leave out, which is that it's common military protocol that when the army is getting up and leaving an area, any equipment that cannot be loaded up and taken back home has to be disassembled, demilitarized, or otherwise made non-functional before we leave. So we managed to accomplish most of that stuff before we left. Mm-hmm. The stuff that we didn't was supposed to go to the Afghan military. Well, yeah. We saw.
I think that number is the amount of money we spent on weapons for the war.
Yeah.
20 years. So the amount of equipment that is there now is not nearly worth that much.
Yeah.
Also, something I want to think that I think is really fucking gross is how all these fucking assholes are trying to turn those 13 soldiers who died at that suicide bombing into these fucking martyrs, while at the same time disqualifying all the good that their mission was doing and somehow saying it was a complete and utter fucking failure.
Yeah.
We accomplished one of the largest airlifts in American military history. And every single one of those soldiers who were down there, they knew what the risk was, okay? They knew what their job was. They knew that those planes didn't take off until that perimeter was secure, okay?
Yeah.
So don't fucking call this like it was some kind of massive fucking failure. It went off probably better than it could have.
Yeah.
And trying to turn these people into like some kind of
political ploy. You know,
political
That's what
ploy.
They're trying to do.
When they could obviously not give a shit about our soldiers in reality. It's just gross.
I mean, look at how they treat them once they get back and they're veterans. That's all we have to see.
My dad had a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't help that a lot of the people that are being contrarian about how this ended were saying it needed to end, you know, 6 months ago.
Mm.
That we need to end this war, but now are complaining that it's actually ended. Gone off mostly well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And all the bullshit talk about impeaching Biden over it. I mean,
yeah, that ain't fucking happening.
Really? Can you use a slightly even less effective word? Impeachment means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, McConnell came up and said, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
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 That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
When Mitch McConnell comes out and says that a stupid fight is actually too stupid for him to bother with, that's...
that's saying something.
Yeah. That's a standard that we don't reach very often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now for this story. A man from Ohio way to fucking, well, Mississippi or Missouri. Which one was it? I can't remember.
Gulfport, Mississippi.
Oh,
went
Jesus.
To all the way to fucking Mississippi to accost an NBC reporter who was covering Ida as it was approaching. And he's now been charged on 4 different counts.
He's lucky he didn't get washed out to sea.
Yeah.
This was before things were hitting. He went and disrupted NBC News correspondent Shaquille Brewster's live report on the Hurricane Ida. Yeah, his name is Benjamin Eugene Dagley of Worcester, Ohio. Now is wanted by the Gulfport Police Department with 4 criminal counts, including 2 counts of simple assault, 1 of disturbing the peace, and another of violating an emergency curfew. Yeah, it took place on Monday as the reporter was delivering an update on conditions along the coast in Gulfport. Brewster was speaking to anchor Craig Melvin when a white Ford pickup truck could be seen abruptly pulling off the road to park in the background.
Of course, it was a white pickup.
Yeah, a man who has since
there's no way it was going to be anything else.
Yeah, a man who has since been identified as Dagley, then ran at Brewster, who pivoted to a different vantage point as he sought to minimize the interruption and continue his report. Van repeatedly yelled at Brewster and his TV crew, seemingly concerned about accuracy in the media, before Brewster's segment with Melvin was cut short.
Oh, jeez. One of those.
Yep.
But yeah, in addition to criminal charges in Mississippi, Dagley may also face a probation violation. He is currently on probation in Cuyahoga County, Ohio. So,
probation for what?
I don't know. Probably, you know, that kind of shit. So, probably not a good idea to get on live TV yelling at the media.
That parole officer's got a slam dunk thing there, huh?
Yeah. No, I was just wondering because if it was a situation where we were actually all recording this in a single studio, I would be taking out my wallet and putting a couple of bills on the table. Getting ready to guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, this next story is fucking weird. So apparently ESPN got scammed into allowing a fake school's football play into its high school football showcase.
Oh, that's a black eye.
Yeah, Chris, you're going to have to explain this one.
So yeah, they ESPN, like at the beginning of the high school football season, holds these games as part of their like showcase for some of the top schools in the country. And seemed to have a spot that they couldn't fill, so this Bishop Sycamore school that is apparently from Columbus, Ohio, managed to get their attention. Particularly, I think the company that was recruiting schools for this event is called, let's see, I forget what it's mentioned here somewhere. Yeah, Paragon Marketing Group.
They're done.
Yeah, they said, we regret that this happened and have discussed it with Paragon, which secured the matchup and handles the majority of our high school event scheduling. They've ensured us that they will take steps to prevent this kind of situation from happening moving forward. But yeah, the school came to their attention, said, like, we've got, you know, students that are, you know, going to be working or have the attention of the big-time schools. And so that seemed to be good enough for them. Not really digging too much into the school itself or anything. But seemed pretty apparent early on as the Bishop Sycamore got blown out 58-0 that they were not a very good team.
Oh, my God.
Despite being and it doesn't claimed, stop there.
Yeah, they apparently had multiple top recruits but could not verify who their roster was and got a list that seemed potentially fake or something. Nobody knew.
Really?
Because they couldn't figure out if these players were on, you know, websites like Rivals.com or MaxPreps.com, which tracks, you know, high school recruits and where they're being, you know, recruited to, you know, that kind of stuff. Couldn't find most of these players on there. Looking up the school itself, not really much information. The school's website is like a nondescript picture of a football player and a message. It seems we can't find what you're looking for. Perhaps searching can help. And now it's just a a blank site that says, our site is coming soon. So, they didn't catch that part of it. Let's see. A few days ago, the site was fleshed out some more. It had some about us and staff and schedule stuff, but now not really much there. The school might actually not be a school. Let's see, it was not listed as a charter school for 21-22 by the Ohio Department of Education. It was listed as a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school last year by the Ohio Department of Education. The school chose to be non-chartered due to, quote, truly held religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, supposedly located in Columbus, Ohio. Currently, this appeal box as its address does not protect its students who are reportedly harassed for the COVID-19 pandemic. But yeah, their Twitter account went private. Or no, I think the thing is people found out like the address, the actual physical address, is like a sports complex. So people are wondering if they're even a school at all, if they're just like a...
It's not.
Like an AAU kind of thing going on, where it's just an athletic team of sorts, no real school affiliation.
You got the information in there about the players?
Yeah, there's players that supposedly claim to be on the team that then made their accounts private. Others that had interviews done that seem to say a lot of shit about how, you know, they weren't really... supported. They had to steal food from Walmart and other grocery stores and such just to make ends meet. The place
they were also 19.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like a more JUCO kind of situation, junior college nice. Kind of situation, where it's like you're playing high school kids and you're getting your ass whooped, so you're not that good in the first place. Yeah, some
pretty
of the,
sure there's a higher up on the staff that has warrants out.
Yeah. The coach has been fired as a result of all this shit that's going on. Fired by let's see. Johnson was poorly fired by Peterson, who, aside from founding Bishop Sycamore, coaches the offensive and defensive line for the football team. Also insisted that Bishop Sycamore is not a scam. If it's a scam and the kids are not going to school and not doing what they're supposed to do, then I'm literally scamming myself. I mean, there's stupider plans, but sure. Johnson faces an active warrant in Ohio for failure to appear in a domestic violence case that was eventually dropped to a criminal mischief charge.
Oh, boy.
Issued July 2nd and remains active. In addition to that, he will go trial after defaulting on a $100,000 loan from First Merchants Bank. Use that loan to operate Christians of Faith Academy. He also faces a civil lawsuit after he allegedly did not pay a hotel over $100,000 to house football players in 2018.
Oh, so, he's con man.
Career con man.
Yeah,
and there's some more details here if you want to see that stuff. Even got the attention of the governor, Mike DeWine, tweeting about having the Department of Education investigate this whole situation. Was like, well, if they're not a school, then okay, you're wasting your time. But also, whatever.
As the layers come off of this, I'm really going to be interested to see all of the bullshit that comes out.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Any of the schools they had scheduled for later this year have all pulled out. I think people looked into their past performance, and last year they played like a shorter season, but still went 0-6. I think the other thing is that they played a game. This game was on Sunday, and they also played a game on Friday, which they apparently told the team that they played on Sunday, like, oh, that's second team. But then realized, no, this is mostly the same kids that played. So who fucking knows what the hell is going on, but I'm... Sure, there's going to be a good 30 for 30 documentary.
Oh, yeah. This crime and sports episode forthcoming. I'm absolutely positive.
Oh, yeah. All right. God, that is just so fucking weird. All right. Next up, the Federal Trade Commission is investigating those goddamn fucking malfunctioning ice cream machines at McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a lot to that.
Yeah, this involves these things that are always fucking broken down, so much so that people have created, you know, online tools that let you track which ones are broken and which ones are not.
Yeah.
That is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
It's a goddamn meme.
Well, yeah. What's happened is that there's an exclusivity contract, and this ice cream machine vendor has made them unnecessarily complicated and easy to break to get more money. And McDonald's corporate apparently knew about it and didn't give a shit because, you know, it was generally their franchisees that were footing the bill for it.
Yeah, so, they ain't got a fucking pay for it.
Yeah, only on the corporate-owned stores, which is not a whole lot. So, I mean, this is legit, and the FTC should be looking into this.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy and far-fetched, but it's a fucking thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and like the notion that the company that makes these things could somehow block the people running these McDonald's from getting them fixed.
No, they have to pay them to get them fixed. They can't bring in like a third party vendor or anything.
Yeah, like they're not able to get it fixed just by, you know, people that are more easily accessible and cheaper.
Yeah, sort of, and part that's of the
general right to repair thing that's going on.
Yes, it very much plays into that whole Lewis Russman thing. And maybe this is a different flavor of it, but the point stands. I mean, it's combating corporate greed. In this case, man, that's almost fucking flat out fraud.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things is like they put it into like a nightly cleaning cycle at a certain point, and that's an easy fail point for it.
Mm-hmm.
Conveniently requires a technician to fix it.
Everything requires a technician to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To which the place I work, it has like a frozen yogurt machine. It's like, I've never seen it be broken.
Yeah.
They'll tear it down to clean it out every once in a while, but it seems as long as they got, you know, the cold shit in there and the cream and all that, it works just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is probably the point. They probably had some franchisees that, you know, maybe used to be Dairy Queen or something, and then they got enough money to be allowed to be a McDonald's franchisee. Because there are so many stipulations on that. It can't be inherited money. It has to be self-made money. Blah, blah, blah. X amount of dollars. This, that, and the other. Jump through a million hoops. And they come in and they're like, what the fuck is this machine? This is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And next up in state tech news, 8 states will now be allowing your driver's license to be added to your Apple wallet.
Yeah.
You know what, dude? I would never want to.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay with that. I have to email copies of it to the goddamn school all the time. It's become a thing where I find myself sending my driver's license for whatever various fucking stupid reasons, and especially because I'm a contractor too. I'm okay with that because it would save me a little bit of time and hassle.
Yeah, so Arizona and Georgia are the first states that will introduce this feature.
Interesting.
With Connecticut, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Oklahoma, and Utah to follow afterwards. States have not said yet when they will start making the digital IDs available, but once they do, the TSA said it will allow travelers to use them at checkpoints and security lanes at select airports.
Well, that's not going to matter much longer because we have to switch over to Real ID soon for air travel.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means that I need to get my 25-year-old problem on my Social Security card fixed. My first name is spelled wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah. A little bit of a problem. I have to take a day off work to get it fixed.
Yeah. Well, we're now going into the entertainment portion of the show. And the first entertainment story we got is that nearly 40 years after they broke up, ABBA has reunited and they're going to make a new album.
God fucking help me.
Yeah. Which is wild because it seems like they are doing like a Tron themed album or something.
Yeah.
Whatever, because
some of the images you'll see are them in like performance capture suits.
Oh, Jesus.
They look fucking weird and they're doing some. I think there's like ones with actual CG in it where they look like Tron people. It's like, sure, whatever. This is a thing that's come into existence, but. Yeah, they're doing a new studio album. It's out November 5th called Voyage.
They turned that out fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm getting divorced on November 6th?
Yeah, two of their newly released songs recorded in their in a studio in Stockholm. We featured in their concert that they're starting in May of next year. Yeah, 10-piece. See, yeah, they'll be performing digitally via avatars with a live 10-piece band in a purpose-built arena in London, which is like where the Tron thing is coming into, I guess.
I just figured that was going to be for like the video or something, or one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. So according to the announcement, the digital versions of ABBA have been created following weeks and months of motion capture and performance techniques with the four band members and an 850-strong team from ILM. They're putting all the fucking money into this.
Jesus Christ.
We're getting ILM to help with the...
Well, I mean, ABBA is one of the most successful... I mean, ABBA is one of the most successful pop groups in all... in like, of all time. They've...
Yeah, they came out of Eurovision.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, their greatest hits album that they recorded in 92, it's been, like, number one in the UK at least five times. So
made two shitty movies out of their music.
God, right.
That was based on a shitty stage musical.
Still features their music all over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, ABBA Voyage will open May 27th at the ABBA Arena, a state-of-the-art 3,000 capacity arena located at Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park in London. So hey, they're using that Olympic Park for something. The ABBA Voyage. You can pre-register for that now, so yeah. That's neat. Let's see what ABBA is in 2021.
One. Yeah. I am curious though, like why it's like, you know, these guys hadn't performed together like in like almost 40 years. Like I wonder why it is. It's just like they just got this wild hair up their ass. It's like, you know what, we should make another album.
Or like, well, the world has gone to hell since we left.
Well, and it might be a side effect of COVID.
It could be.
You could convince me of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not really in need of money because the royalties from their hits alone, they are rolling in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're making it faster than they're pissing it away. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, far faster.
I'd imagine they're not living like, you know, Elon Musk or anything like that.
No, that's but fair. They are very comfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They have staff, no doubt.
Yeah. And now in Tom Cruise news, Top Gun Maverick and Mission Impossible 7 have been delayed a significant amount of time.
Yeah, Top Gun was supposed to open here November 19th, and now it's May 27th, 2022.
Yeah,
Mission Impossible 7 was supposed to debut on that May 27th, 2022. Now it's September 30th. Jackass Forever also got delayed from October 22nd to February 4th, 2022. So yeah, started a bit of a domino movies getting pushed again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and probably no fault of Tom Cruise's, because wasn't he like foaming at the mouth mad at somebody who wasn't wearing a mask and saying, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think it's the rise of Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
kind of throwing this whole planned sort of exclusively in theaters thing that the various studios are doing into a bit of disarray as they realize.
Yeah.
No real appetite to fuck around and find out.
Mm-hmm.
It's throwing a lot of things out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Got all the directors out of whack as they're complaining about, oh, you're missing the theater experience. How can you do that?
Easy. It smells better at my place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quieter too.
Don't have to pay for popcorn.
Yeah, and if you guys want to know of some popcorn, you can order off Amazon that tastes exactly like movie theater popcorn that you cook on your stove. You just let me know. I'll send you a link. It is fucking awesome.
Nice.
And it's the real deal.
And speaking of delays, Ghostbusters Afterlife got bumped a week to November 19th.
Yep.
And
only a week.
Because that opened up after Top Gun Maverick got delayed. So like, fuck it, we'll go for the 19th. I assume that's the weekend before Thanksgiving or during Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think it's before.
Yeah.
The 21st is the Monday before Thanksgiving. Because that's when I go to Disney. Holy shit. Hold my beer. we're still going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, fucking November and December is going to be fucking insane.
Maybe in Illinois we are seeing some signs that maybe things are, after the first initial burst of cases from school starting, that things are possibly slowing down a little bit. But it could just be
a temporary. But you live in Illinois.
Yeah, but I went to that school board meeting, man. There's a lot of dumb fucks here.
I know, but still, you live in Illinois.
I know. It's different than...
Well, and I live in Georgia. Yeah.
You can't get much worse.
Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, maybe it'll level off some. I don't know. Maybe.
No. We'll see.
I hope. I lie to myself a lot. All
right. Yeah. And now we got a trio of trailers to talk about. First, we got a trailer for Roland Emmerich's new movie, Moonfall. Roland Emmerich, of course, is the guy behind all those giant disaster movies.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Some great stuff, and this is really nice to see because it is fucking ridiculous in what the trailer shows.
So what's the premise of this one?
So the premise here, as it's described in the description here, in Moonfall, a mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit around Earth. Hurling on a collision course with life as we know it. With mere weeks before impact and the world on the brink of annihilation, NASA executive and former astronaut Joe Fowler, played by Halle Berry, is convinced she has the key to saving us all. But only one astronaut from her past, Brian Harper, aka Patrick Wilson, and a conspiracy theorist, Casey Houseman, John Bradley, you might know from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. He's like the big dude there. Believes her, so these unlikely heroes will mount an impossible last-ditch mission into space, leaving behind everyone they love, only to find out that our moon is not what we think it is.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's not a moon.
Yeah, so that stuff is all kind of hinted at in the movie, so yeah. Some shit's gonna happen, and that's cool. We don't get these disaster movies very often.
So do we have to see it at a theater? Are they saying
that's
yet?
That's what they're saying in theaters February 4th, 2022. It'll also be in IMAX.
Bay, February 5th.
I don't know if it says exclusively, but...
And we've also got... IMAX,
I don't know.
Yeah. We also got a trailer for Netflix's new action movie, Red Notice, which stars Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Also, Gal Gadot.
Oh.
Gal Gadot. Yes, her name's not as pronounced the nice way, but seems pretty nice where they let The Rock and Ryan Reynolds just play themselves in this movie. They're not trying to be any sort of character there. And Gal Gadot is kind of the bad guy. And so they have fights, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Action in shoes. That's the idea.
Yeah.
And finally, and I'm sure Phil was excited to hear about this, we got a trailer for Amazon's The Wheel of Time show.
Oh my.
It's actually happening.
Oh my.
Yeah, it is happening.
Yeah.
It's happening.
November 19th. So.
Yep. We'll see how that shows, how that turns out.
So is that going to be based on just like the first book, or how does that break down?
The way that they're showing it, I think it's going to be like a combination story of the first book, and I think like some of the earlier sort of prequel material that
like comes
in the later book. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
So basically, for those of us who have been procrastinating reading Wheel of Time, we should probably get the first book done.
The Eye of the World, it's probably the easiest one to get through. Some of those later books are tedious as all hell. I never got past the third, but that's just me. Yeah, we'll see how this turns out.
Cool.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I think we got ourselves a show, folks. Anything else you want to add? Yeah, it's amazing. We went on for 2.5 hours. Damn. Yeah. Built out time. Yeah. Anyway, I would like to invite all our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read in the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for it in the show notes. Can you tell that I've done this whole speech so many times I can do it in my sleep? Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator that you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait up for a few minutes, because as soon as we find out about its existence, we will almost immediately sign up to it. You cannot avoid us. We are inevitable. We're either like Thanos or COVID. Which one less sucks less? And so, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, I hope that you all like the show. If you liked it, tell your friends and friends and your enemies' enemies. And eventually, you know, we'll have enough that maybe you'll make new friends along the way. And isn't that the treasure that we all get? I have no idea what I'm saying now. I'm just trying to fill out
time. No, that fell apart several seconds ago, but I was just sticking along with it because it was entertaining.
It was great.
Yeah. For Teresa Sammons, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, say good night, sleep tight, and until the end of this friggin' pandemic, I'm going to say, if you can get vaccinated and you have not yet been vaccinated, please go get vaccinated. I would like to be able to leave my house without a mask at some point in my life.